Hello, my name is Tyson, and I'm a theologian. I started making things more complicated than they needed to be at a very young age. It started with small things, like arguing with my parents that because I said so wasn't actually an answer to why. Then it led to a revolutionary understanding. I began to see that there was no problem, however complicated, that if you looked at it in the right way, couldn't become still more complex. I'm joking, of course, but it's true that we often make things more difficult than need be. Take the gospel, for instance. Since the very beginning, we've been trying to add to the salvation message. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 is one example. Now, as Jesus was starting out on his way, someone ran up to him, fell on his knees, and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a great question. And because of the man's dramatic entrance, we know he is sincere. This isn't a casual encounter. This man sought Jesus out, and when he found him, he ran to him and fell to his knees. How does Jesus respond to this well-intentioned soul? Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father or mother." The man said to him, "Teacher, I have wholeheartedly obeyed all these laws since my youth." There's a lot going on in this passage that we're going to demystify. Instead of answering his question, Jesus addresses two misconceptions the young man has. First, while desperate to learn the secret of salvation, he believes a lie. He, that is the rich young ruler, believes he is a good person. Like the Pharisees of his day, he believed it was possible to obey the 10 steps, I mean the 10 commandments. Not only did he believe it was possible, he believed he had done so. Knowing this, Jesus decides to dispel these wrong notions so that the man can see his real need. Jesus does this first by explaining that God alone, in other words, Jesus himself, is good. The implication is clear. The man might be many things, young, wealthy, and authority, but he was not good. Next, Jesus sets him up by appearing to confirm the young man's suspicions. As Jesus looked at him, he felt love for him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell whatever you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But at this statement, the man looked sad and went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. The man believed that salvation was at the very least a 10-step program. Even so, he felt there had to be something more. Even though he believed himself to be good, like God, he knew, deep down, that he wasn't, that he needed something more. And at first, it seems Jesus gives him two more steps. Sell everything, then follow me. But instead of a 12-step program, Jesus really limited it to one. Selling everything he had and giving it to the poor wasn't part of the path to salvation, though clearly it may have led to heavenly rewards. It was meant to reveal the heart. The rich young ruler loved his wealth more than his God. Jesus answered the question that started this exchange, "What must I do to be saved?" with two words, follow me. Salvation isn't difficult to achieve, only difficult to believe. How can following Jesus make us right with God? Since this exchange, others have tried to add their own requirements to the gospel. We read in Acts 15 that even some Pharisees had followed Jesus, but old habits die hard. In verse 5 of that chapter, we see them arguing that the Gentiles must be circumcised and obey the law of Moses, those pesky Ten Commandments again, in addition to the gospel. Peter sets them all straight in verse 11. Salvation is by God's grace, not man's works. Today, little has changed. There are still those who want to add to the gospel message. Faith alone in Jesus alone is just too simple. So they say you have to get your life together before you can come to Jesus. They say you're not really saved unless Jesus is Lord of everything in your life. They say that to be truly saved, you have to be baptized. Still others say that you can't be sure of your salvation unless you exhibit the gift of speaking in tongues. And they get to define what tongues are instead of letting the Bible define it. Some will betray a belief in the gospel plus. The gospel plus fill in the blank by teaching that one can lose their salvation. I tell you, you can lose a lot of things. You can lose a bet. You can lose your car keys. You can even lose a friend, but you cannot lose your salvation. Jesus compares salvation to being born again. You can't lose your rebirth any more than you can lose your birth. To put it another way, you can't be unborn, nor can you be unreborn. It just doesn't work that way. On the other hand, if you believe that one is saved by the gospel plus, then you can lose your salvation the moment you don't live up to whatever the plus might be. Be on your guard anytime someone tries to add anything to the gospel of grace.